It's time for the CMC Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC Super Show.
All right, guys. Once again, I'm Seaman Hepburn, a.k.a. YF Menace, and you heard that intro, so you know what time it is. Hello, CMC. How are you doing this afternoon?
Great. Nice to be back here again.
That is good, of course, and I'm always happy to see you. Of course, we had our back-to-school fair and open houses for both our elementary and high schools last week. So how are you feeling about kids going back to school, and then are you excited for everything else that they did over the summer?
Oh, yeah. Always excited. I think, more than anything, aside from our kids being excited to go back to school, it's really the parents, right? Me and the wife, we're excited to get them out of the house. Hey, go back to school, enjoy learning and meeting new friends. So that's really the key thing to it. So looking forward to it.
And then what does your family do to prepare for the back to school season?
A few things that my wife did, right? So I'm really grateful to have her because she hold down the fort. You know, whatever happens in the house, she handle it. Same thing with, you know, shopping for school stuff. She does all that, right? We didn't really do much for, we didn't travel a whole lot outside of Spain. We did some, you know, day trip elsewhere, 2.5 hours and back. But other than that, I enjoyed the beach, Rota, you know, get that crowded atmosphere and experience that everybody's talking about. And then, you know, trying to find a parking as a challenge. Sometimes you have to walk from the main gate, right? 15 minutes to get to places. And the same thing, reservation out in town if you want to, you know, dinner, early dinner. It's not a problem, but yeah, everything's good.
Okay. And then, of course, our 2026 Chief Petty Officer selectees were announced earlier this month. So do you remember when you were first selected as a Chief Petty Officer?
Oh, I still remember when I made it. That's the best time of my life, right? Back in 2009, a few years back, and I got I was asking our two guests here, you know, a couple of questions. So kind of put a laugh, a smile on my face. I feel so old, but I don't feel old.
All right.
But yeah, 2009, I still remember that day, like it happened yesterday, right? So same thing with our new selectees, when the result came out, 6th August. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we started the CPO initiation the day after, so August 7th until now, until September 16th is really the pinning ceremony. So hopefully they get something, they learn something. The main thing really is preparing our chief selects, including our two Air Force. We have two, three Air Force. One of them is a Master Sergeant and the other two are Master Sergeant Select. So they're doing a great job, you know, learning how Navy operates, which is always a good thing, right? So we have sister services here in Rota, so it's always to have a great integration specifically for professional development, you know, learning each other, you know, the do's and don'ts, you know, sharing how they do things with the Air Force. And the same thing, those three Master Sergeants are really learning a whole lot of new stuff about the Navy. So
okay, and then what is the most important thing that our CPO selects learn during the chief season?
Nothing disclosing, because some of them are most likely, all these chief selects, some of them is probably listening. not disclosing anything, but it's really a transition, right? From being a first class petty officer or E6 to chief. So we incorporated a lot of training, professional development, and scenario based to make sure they're ready to be chief petty officers, right? After 16 September, you know, they're chiefs. So they're selected to be a chief petty officer from, you know, day one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really more so on us chiefs that's been around. It's a long process of preparation. before we executed it, whatever we planned for. But it's really transitioning them from being a first class to a chief petty officer, which is a great responsibility. They don't know yet, but we're trying to instill to them all these different responsibilities, your actions as chief petty officers, expectations, and all that.
Okay. And then what would be your message to those that didn't get selected this year?
You know, as usual, we've all been there. You know, keep your head up, you know, chest out, stay proud, but continue doing what you're doing. It's really leading your sailors, being involved, continue to be involved. You know, it's okay to take a knee and give yourself 2 weeks of downtime and then restart, right? So you're going to get selected. It just so happened that others did more than you this time. So stay positive. You know, you'll get your another chance and opportunity next year. So hopefully they all make it.
Okay. And then, of course, we have a jam-packed show today with a bunch of guests. So after the break, we will hear a little bit more about the Air Force's mission at Navstay Rota. But in the meantime, here is Nico and Vince with Am I Wrong? Strategic airlift is one of the biggest reasons why Rota is known as the gateway to the Mediterranean. So we've got some experts on that from the 725th Air Mobility Squadron to discuss a little bit more about their mission. Welcome aboard Captain Nathan Elkling and Tech Sergeant Lavasser.
All right. Hey, welcome to our AFN Rota show, CMC Super Show. First off, I want you guys to introduce yourself to our listeners. Family, hobbies, where are you from, how long have you been in Rota?
Thanks, CMC. My name is Tech Sergeant Lavasser. I'm a section chief with the 725th. I've been in Rota for about a year, and I'm one of those fortunate few. This is actually my second time in Rota. I did a stint from 15 to 19. I wouldn't call it a stint. It's pretty nice to be here, but yeah, it's a good time being here for sure. Some hobbies. I like to read. I like to play video games. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Amanda. I have three children, William, who is 11, Grayson, who is 8, and Charlotte, who is our three-year-old baby girl who gets her way with everything. Yeah, so glad to be here.
Great. Captain Elking?
Hey, yep, Captain Nate Elking. I'm the director of operations here for the 725 AMS. I've been here for almost 3 years now. It'll be 3 years in November, although I have orders to leave in October, so I don't think I'll quite make the 3 years. I am also married with three kids to my wife, Allison Elking, and then we've got three daughters, all under the age of four. It's a lot of work. Penelope, who's three, and then Charlotte and Natalie are twins. I also have a Charlotte. They're both one and a half.
Awesome. I got three girls as well. I forgot to mention that to y'all offline.
Girl dads.
Girl dad. 8, 6, and 4, right? So now, question to both of you. What is your experience living and working on a Navy installation?
It's been unique. There's definitely some challenges working on a Navy installation. The biggest one just being if you're not, you know, prior Navy or you don't have any experience with the Navy, it's foreign and it's unknown. But it's offered a lot of opportunities to do some joint exercises, some joint missions, and really learn about some of our sister services. And I see like what you're just talking about, Chief Season going through, and I see some of our E6s and E7s going through, and the value that they get out of that, I think is just awesome. And I was fortunate enough to go out on one of the ships, not out, but just go take a tour. They led us to a reenlistment ceremony and a decoration presentation for some of our CPOs that are in the Air Force not too long ago. And getting to tour the ship was very humbling, seeing how tight quarters it is on those things.
Oh, yeah.
Have a lot of respect, gained a lot of respect for the Navy being stationed here.
Good, good. All right, let's talk about the 725th. Air Mobility Squadron background, mission unclassified.
Yeah, so our mission statement at the 725th is functional experts projecting agile and adaptable air mobility on demand. So that, in a nutshell, is basically we have this concept of air mobility, right? It's the idea that we can move people, equipment, supplies anywhere in the world very, very, very rapidly. That's our whole goal, especially our unit here at Rota.
And when we break that mission down, the functional experts is specific in that one because we have 23 AFSC, Air Force Specialty Codes here, or RATES, I think you call them in the Navy.
Yes.
And so we're very diverse, and a lot of those are one deep. Like, we might only have one of that specific Air Force Specialty Codes. That person is, you know, relied on to provide all of their subject matter expertise, whereas they normally might have an entire unit that does that function, but here they kind of do it alone.
It's a combination, right? Like, from IT support to logistics. Okay, yeah.
Absolutely.
And then maintenance.
Yeah, that's our biggest one is maintenance. And our mission is really we provide 24/7 airlift and air refueling mission support. So any Air Force aircraft that's coming through Rota, we're making sure that we're providing 24/7 support. And we also do that. It's kind of a joint mission because it's not just us. So, yeah, we do the maintenance. We'll do the IT support. We'll do the supply support. We'll do command and control for them. But then we rely heavily on you because you in the Navy own the airfield. So you do an airfield management. You're providing POL, petroleum to the aircraft. And then also you're providing the lodging here whenever the aircrew need to get rest.
Great. How about any support that you, your squadron provide to Morone Air Force Base in Sevilla?
I think Morone definitely provides more support to us than we provide to them. The interesting thing is Morone is an airbase squadron, so they do everything you might see at a normal Air Force base, but in a very condensed version. So the 725 AMS, our unit, is condensed just specific to the subject matter experts that we need to push airflow through Naval Station Rota, whereas Morone is kind of more of a self-sufficient. They have a lot more AFSCs than we do, even though they're about the same size as us. So we rely on them for contracting support. We rely on them for chemical warfare training. They help us out with firearms training, with finance support. So there's a lot of stuff that Morone does for us. And what we do for them is we're just really good partners, so they love us.
Well, great to hear that. Now, let's talk about Air Force birthday. When is the Air Force birthday? I'm tracking September 18th, correct?
Correct, September 18th.
How many years?
78 years.
78 years.
Not close to 250, but we're getting there. 78 years. So, and typically, like most all the other sister services, we'll have a ball scheduled.
And then that's coming up. In October?
Yep, October 3rd, up in Sevilla.
Sevilla, okay.
So typically, we'll host a ball 1 year, and then our Morone counterparts will go ahead and host it the next year. Since there's only so many Air Force members here, it really gets more bang for your buck with the number of people that actually can show up.
Yeah. And they're only an hour and a half down the road.
An hour and a half. Yeah. That's a good trip down there. It's not really as traffic as, you know, people might seem, right, might think. So that's good. I'm tracking all that. I've seen the invitation came through the executive level. And then let's talk about the importance of the Air Force here in Spain, specifically here in Rota.
Yeah. So I kind of like to think of us as a good analogy might be if you're taking a long road trip down a U.S. interstate and you need to stop somewhere for gas, to take a rest, for any of those things. That's kind of what Naval Station Rota is, but into the gateway to the Mediterranean. Is we provide everything that the aircrew might need as soon as they land. So we're making sure that they've got lodging, that they've got food, that they've got gas for the jet, that if there's anything broke with the jet, we're going to fix it. Anything they need, we provide, and that's kind of our sole purpose here. But we've also been able to maneuver, and that's part of our part of that stated mission statement that Sergeant Levasseur gave, which is that we will provide agile air mobility. So we've gone as far as putting people in Australia to help provide air mobility support out there.
Great. Well, thank you for the information, and thank you for being our guest for this month, CMC Super Show. Over to you.
Of course. Thank you to our amazing 725th Air Mobility Squadron for continuing to support the strategic airlift mission and making Rota the power projecting platform that it is. After the break, we have some more guests, so stay tuned. Last month, CMC talked to our fire department, but now we've got a couple guests around our unparalleled emergency response here in Rota. Please welcome Mr. Warren Ferguson and Mr. DJ Tressler from our emergency management department.
Hey, good afternoon to both of you. We have our two special guests from emergency management department here on base. So quick intro to our listeners, family, hobbies, what you got, and then what brought you to Rota and how long you've been here. And then last question would be, what do you enjoy the most about your job as one of our EM SMEs?
Perfect. Thanks, CMC. So my name is DJ Tressler, and I'm here with my wife, Crystal Tressler, who works over at the school, and my two kids, Ziggy and Rex, who are students here as well. For hobbies, let's see. I like working on cars. I like building things, working with my hands, you know, working out in the shop, stuff like that, maybe playing some music. I've been in Rota since 2023. I've been working for the base since 2024. And as far as my job, I like working with people. I really enjoy being, a responder in the community and being able to support folks and families here. It's an interesting job. It's real diverse, and it's challenging. So it's good. It keeps my mind busy.
That's great to hear. How about you, Warren?
Yeah, I just got here. I'm here so new that I don't have my car and my household goods yet. But I came from Hawaii. I lived there since I was a teenager. And my hobbies were like scuba diving, surfing, and sailing.
But all now, the good stuff.
Yeah. I guess you could do that here. But now I'm mostly into golf. I'm married and have a daughter who's got one more year left of college, and a son who's first year of college. And he's out with me as well. So it's really nice to have the family out here. And the reason why we're out here is, you know, I've had a lot of opportunities to go overseas, but the kids were always in school and I didn't want to take them away. And now they're kind of on their own. So now I can kind of get out and venture the world a little bit. I really love emergency management because you really kind of get out and are able to talk to people and kind of share the importance of, you know, how important it is to be prepared in the emergency management field. So that's kind of really what I love about the job.
Okay, that's good. So that leads to my next question, right? Talk to us about, and our listeners, about the importance of your department, you know, the process of reporting and responding to emergencies and all that stuff that's available for our community here on base, family included.
Yeah, it's a really good question because emergency management is something that a lot of people don't think of until they're involved in an emergency or a disaster. And really what we want to kind of promote is being prepared ahead of time. You know, it's beautiful out, sunny, 300 days of beautiful sun, but having that opportunity to prepare, you know, building kits, you know, preparing for a disaster is really important. I want DJ to kind of talk about the importance of the notification system and calling, you know, for help. DJ?
Oh, yeah, thanks, Warren. Yeah, just, you know, talking about what Warren was saying, you know, again, about preparedness and making a kit and being prepared. You know, everybody's always waiting for that focusing event, so it's good to be prepared beforehand. You know, one of the things that we do here, we have a 911 center on the base. And in that 911 center, we've got a number of professionals who are working in there. And it's a lot like what you'd experience back in the United States when you call 911. They're standing by. They're ready for your call. They've got professional protocols here to help you in case you have any type of emergency that you experience while you're on base. And then also I should note that while you're on base, if you dial from a DSN phone and you have an emergency to report, you could simply call 911. But that only applies if you're calling from a DSN phone. If you're calling from a cell phone, it's a little bit different. So sometimes people are confused. They say, well, you know, I'm on base and I need to call for an emergency and I dial 911. But what happens is if you're on a Spanish cell phone or on a Spanish cell phone network, that 911 call is going to immediately transfer to 112, which is the Spanish Emergency Services, which is great. If you're out in town or if you happen to forget the number, it's really simple. So if you're out in the community and you need to get emergency services to you, 112 is what you would call, or 911, which will transfer. And then on base, if you have to contact 911 for an emergency and you want to use your cell phone, the number would be country code 34. It's 956-822-9911. So that's 956-822-9111. And that'll get you to the 911 line, you know, that so they can provide service to you here on the base. We do work with police, fire, and medical to provide that service. Also, we have a notification system that we utilize in there. A lot of you have probably heard it before. We've got the giant voice notification, and we also send out those ad hoc notifications that you get on your phone as well. A lot of times during, like, exercises and stuff, you might see them sometimes for acclimate weather. But that information is provided usually through the dispatch center. They send those messages out for the community. So it's important that we don't get too complacent with those, because although we do have a number of exercises where you'll get emergency messages about exercise activity, sometimes they're going to be based on real activity. So you want to make sure that you're monitoring that stuff and keep it informed.
So anything else you want to add, Warren?
No, really, that is such an important aspect of just being informed, understanding that, you know, we're going to send out emergency messaging if it becomes necessary. And so make sure that you're signed up on our ad hoc and, you know, that you're dialed in, so to speak.
Of course, National Preparedness Month is coming up, and our Emergency Management Department has some important information about that right after this music break. Of course, September is National Preparedness Month, so we have our emergency management experts here to talk about how you can prepare yourself for an emergency.
All right, nice to be back here online again. Good afternoon to our listeners, CMC Alvarado here on CMC Super Show with our two subject matter experts from our Emergency Management Department. So let's talk about the importance of National Preparedness Month, which is September.
Right, you know, it's really an opportunity to just kind of gain awareness during the month of September for National Preparedness Month, to understand that disasters and emergencies happen, and you can't just go into it without a plan, without being prepared. And that's really what the national movement is to kind of let everybody understand that you got to kind of plan for these things when you're not in the emergency, when it's not actually happening. And so it's a really good opportunity to kind of think about that. And one of the greatest resources that I think that, you know, you can kind of put out for everybody is ready.gov. And it really has just a ton of information on, you know, making a plan, you know, making a kit, you know, for to have prepared for an emergency. So I think, you know, if there's one message I can get across, is try to be prepared for emergencies, and ready.gov is a great resource for that. You can also call us at Emergency Management. We'd be glad to help anybody prepare for, you know, emergencies, and kind of let you know what in the local area that we would be, you know, concerned about, and, you know, how we can help you prepare for that as well.
Sounds good. And then second question is, can you tell us or and our listeners the common emergencies reported on the installation and in Rota?
DJ, you want to kind of...
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I think that we're fortunate to live in a very safe community, and it really is wonderful here. But it's important not to become complacent. You know, there are emergencies that do happen, and I think probably one of the ones we hear often about are probably traffic accidents. I know here on base and sometimes out in the community, you know, people navigating the roads that they're not familiar with, you know, we run into situations like that. You know, not too much else is, you know, reoccurring. Maybe some small theft and things like that. But that's pretty much some flow. Flash flooding. That one happens a lot. We get a lot of reports of flash flooding around the area. Especially, we're getting into that season right now, October, November, December, as it starts to transition into the wintertime. There'll be a lot of instances where we'll have some standing water on the roadways, and you could call us for that. Over at the dispatch center, we're happy to take that information and pass it along, because, you know, I know last year we had some flooding over in El Puerto and such, and it was good to get that message out to the community about what routes we could avoid. So if you find anything that's going on out in the community that you think is important for us to know about so that we can help inform the public, please do give us a call.
All right, so now we Warren briefly talked about ready.gov, one of the links or website to get us ready to prepare for emergency. Let's talk about what equipment do we need to have when preparing for emergency.
Yeah, like you said, Ready.gov has a lot of that information on there. And really, one way I simplify it to people is think about if you were going to go camping for 2 to 3 days, what would you bring? And if you think of it in that terms, you'd know what you'd want to have. Say you don't have electricity, you don't have, anything substance or anything like that, you'd want to bring those things with you. So in your kit, which is outlined in Ready.gov, you want to make sure you have food, non-perishable food. You want to have water, which is usually 1 gallon per person per day. You want to have a radio because AFN will be out there, giving you information, hopefully, and you can kind of listen in on that. Flashlights with extra batteries, a first aid kit, tools. Don't forget a can opener if you did bring non-perishable and cans. Another thing that people forget is, like, for example, when the power's out, credit cards won't work. So make sure you have cash in your kit. So if you had to go buy something on the local economy, at least you would have cash. And then, of course, if you have kids, you want to make sure you have diapers, formula, that kind of stuff for your kids. And those with pets, make sure you're thinking about that also. And that's all making that plan, having pet food and whatnot in your kit. And then I also suggest that not only do you have a kit at home, but you have at least a smaller one in your car because you could get stuck away from home. And then maybe also one at work, so if you get stuck at work, you'll have all that kind of stuff. And again, think about it in terms of, you're going camping for about 3 days and you need to be able to sustain for those 3 days. So that's the easiest way to think about it.
That's a good call about the cash. When we had that power outage or whatever, I had to use cash in a few different places. I was fortunate that I had some on me, but I often travel around with just my card, And so, fortunately, when that went down, I did have some cash on me because that ended up being a major deal breaker.
That's true. And if you have, a little older kids, right, how are you going to keep them entertained? So outdoor, of course, it's dark inside, right? So what make sure we have... they have like some kind of toy for outdoors and keep them occupied for the next 2 hours or so, right?
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about communications during emergency. I know it varies based on our experience and what we've seen, lessons learned the last 2-3 months. Aside from ad hoc sign-up process and giant voice, we do have AFN radio we talked about earlier. And if we have a power, then, of course, Naval Station, social media,
that's a big
Facebook,
one.
Instagram, they have those, LinkedIn if they can. But those are some areas or, way of us to communicate to our community. Anything else that I'm missing?
No, but I do want to kind of highlight the ad hoc a little bit. A lot of people don't really understand that as well. Whenever you log into the computer, it'll automatically generate an email for you. And so us that are working on the installation are expected to at least have a phone number and an email associated with that. But you can also put your family members on that as well so that they at least can get the emergency notification also. Like, let's say you're at work and your family's at home and we have an emergency and we're going to disseminate information, they can at least be included on that emergency information. So you can reach out to us at EM if you want more information on that so you can get the notification. I think that's really important that everybody understands what's going on.
Yeah, that's not just for sponsors. That's for everybody. So, if you have folks in your family that you want that are carrying a phone around with them, that information is good for them to have too.
Yeah, and then for the ship's sailor service member, right, they can provide those information to their CMC or leadership, and then one of those will actually send update for to you guys, to your department, so they can actually we can actually input that. And then we talk about it on our ICR. XO mentioned it, updating ad hoc and sign up to include family. So hopefully everybody's doing it. If you have OneNet access and you're sure, you can actually update and sign up with ad hoc. All right, now let's talk about the emergency management program assessment inspectors that we have in installation right now. Status.
Yeah, so we have a team from CNIC in Washington coming out to assess our program. And Rick Peterson has been the EMO here for 7 years, and he's put together an outstanding program. And so we're really assessing what he's worked on for the last 7 years and doing a great job. So they're looking at everything that we have, plans, procedures, SOPs, and all those kind of things. And so far, we're doing doing pretty good on that. We've taken some time to really prepare everything for the assessors to make it as easy as possible for them.
I think it's really nice because this program used to be attached to our final evaluation program with security, and now we have the opportunity for a really intimate program look. You know, before there was so much going on and everybody was focused on the big exercise, and now we have the attention per se that we need, where we could sit down with the CNIC folks and get some really good guidance on plan development. So it feels more comfortable, and I think holistically it's going well.
That's good. Anything else we want our listeners to know about our EM department?
No, just know that we're always there to help, and look forward to that. We'd love when people call us and ask us things that we can do to help. And if I could say one thing, it's just be prepared. You know, take this opportunity now when there's not an emergency happening to be prepared for when there is one. You know, when an emergency happens, it's not the time to be thinking, what do I do? You know, so take this time to prepare. Reach out to us if you need any help with anything.
Okay.
Of course, Team Roto will always remain ready for crises and emergencies and is dedicated to keeping us safe and informed while responding. And of course, with that, I think we are ready for anything thrown our way now. But after the break, CMC is going to go through a few installation updates. So don't touch that dial. Here is One Republic. All right, CMC, now it's just the two of us again, but I know you have our installation updates for us.
Yes, nice to be back here. Good afternoon to all our listeners, Family Rota. Just a few updates here. As you all know, CPO initiation is happening. We're on week two until 16 September, which is the pinning ceremony. So if you see them, a bunch of guys, you know, and ladies, run around early in the morning. That's our chiefs helping out our new chiefs to make sure they're in shape. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you see them, congratulate them and keep motivating them. Another thing is PCS peak season. Summer is the busiest season for PCS moves. So a reminder: starting October 1st, Patriot Express service to and from Rota will cease. Work with your Comanche BPA and DTS to book commercial travel for your PCS after that date. And then, of course, we do have Military OneSource, has many great resources regarding personal property shipments. And if anything, our subject matter expert on any household goods, our NABSUP FLC Rota personal property office team is happy to answer your question in their office at Building 55. Or you can call them at 011-3495682-2419. And then another item here, update, MWR Cardboard Boat Regatta. MWR will be holding a cardboard boat regatta on September 5th. So get your creativity going and get ready to set sail. Building days are every Monday from 6 to 9 p.m. at Liberty Center. And then another update that our base commanding officer, traffic court, has been activated, signed instruction, and then watch your speed when driving on base. And don't park in front of the galley, please, during meal hours specifically. And then, of course, with a few incidents happening the last 2 weeks, we have a handful of POVs and GOVs, motor vehicle accidents, and DUIs off base. Please be safe, be responsible, don't drink and drive. Other than that, I would say thank you again to all our listeners and to you, DJ YF Manis, as usual. Thanks for having me, and thank you to all our guests from our 725th Air Force sister service and our emergency management SMEs talk to us about getting ready for any emergencies. Over to you.
Yes, and of course, thank you again for coming by and bringing all of your wonderful guests. And of course, remember, you can always listen to the CMC Super Show anytime now by using your favorite podcast platform, including Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, or Amazon.